Welcome to the Doug and Tyler and Mike show. And I'm hoping we get Tyler in on this one because we're going to talk about some subjects that she asked us to address, some of which we have addressed before. I'm going to give a diatribe about the pandemic laws. Michael is going to reveal some of his research now, which shocked all of us. Yet when he brought the research forward, we said, oh my gosh, this has to be right. So, welcome to the show. How are you doing, Michael?
I am doing great. Nice to see both of you.
Hi, Tyler, Betsy.
Okay, so that's not exactly the lineup of the show today. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about the pandemic laws because this is where America gave away its sovereignty. And then we want to talk about a few other things. But yes, what Michael and the miners are uncovering about the child trafficking network is astonishing and something that we probably would have never thought about. However, what was happening is that Michael was doing some research on Boris Johnson, and the YMCA came up, and we went, oh my gosh, they have a worldwide network. What a perfect place to hide children. And the miners got a hold of that. You won't believe what they found, folks.
Well, as many of you may know, we have produced 9 reports on this since it started. And we were the ones who revealed how this whole thing started in China, who did it, Purbright Institute, the Brits, Kinetic, and all that. But what we also revealed is something that no one that I have ever heard yet in any news agency, mainstream media or otherwise, speak about, which is what I call the pandemic laws. And I'm going to name them here and just give you a brief overview of them, because just as Tyler just said, we gave away our entire nation to the World Health Organization, the United Nations, which is, of course, a British institution, when these laws were passed. And then what's really shocking is that they were reaffirmed over and over again, and each time they made it broader, less defined, more vague, and yet gave all of the power. Every speck of power comes down to the World Health Organization and what they say, and one person in America, who we've already had at least 4 people in that position since COVID has started, and that person is in control of this pandemic, and I want to describe that here. Anybody else want to say anything before I get started? Because you know me, once I get started, I'll just keep on going.
What year were those, was that law put in place?
Just 2006. First one, then 2000, I know you love your details, 2013, reaffirmed and made more broad in 2016, reaffirmed and made more broad in 2019-20 in the 116th Congress. And these are shocking. The first one is called the Public Health Service Act. I don't know. I mean, to even describe this is unbelievable. When you hear this, you're not going to believe it. That's the reason Michael said, I want to see these laws. I want to read them myself. Yeah. Because it's unbelievable. And so I think people didn't believe me when I said this. But this is the crux of the matter. If you don't know this, you're ignorant. And if you do know this and you voted for it and you're in Congress, you're a mass murderer. Not only that, you're treasonously acting in an anti-constitutional way, and you have abnegated the Constitution and the 3 branches of our government, all by passing this law called the Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness Act of 2006. But first, they had to set it up. And so under the auspices of something really grand, they created the Public Health Service Act. Isn't that dandy? That meant that they could do basically anything to do with emergencies, and if they declared an emergency, but they don't define who gets to claim an emergency or what it entails or what is when it begins and when it ends or any kind of period, except that if there's some type of emergency, health emergency, bingo, bango, an assistant to the director of Health and Human Services, a secretary, literally an assistant secretary, who is an appointee, who is not even, in most cases, a doctor.
And most likely would be senior executive services?
Beyond a shadow of a doubt. This would be an SES high-paid person. Who, one of them, the last one, and this is really disappointing, during the Trump administration, they changed up who was in charge of this, and they put a general in charge. generals. They're in charge of killing people. Okay, so that should tell you something. Right now, in case you are interested,
just so we don't have to guess, we're talking biowarfare here.
Of course. The new person who's in charge of this, her name is Nikki Bratcher Bowman. And she's been working for 31 years in this department. And basically, she's a secretary with, that's it. They made the secretary in charge now so that if there's any kind of culpability ever expressed towards this person who carried out the deed of saying there is a pandemic and starting the pandemic, which then 90 days later was supposed to be reviewed and it wasn't, but now has no end date. Once a pandemic has been declared, not in the 2006 Public Health Service Act, that one also had a 90-day limit. But in the next one, Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness Act of 2006, no limits. So once the World Health Organization, and that was in 2006 and much more defined in the Pandemic and All Hazards, because they've added Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness Reauthorization Act of 2013, they added even more to say what those parameters are. And when you go and you look up those parameters, it's basically all they say really is the parameters are if the World Health Organization says something, then the CDC and the NIH must follow in suit, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the National Institutes of Health must follow the directive of the World Health Organization, which is ran now by a communist who is literally a friend of President Xi and is a full-blown communist who has protected China throughout this entire time, knowing that it was really the Brits who released it and yet letting China take the fall for it now and even be sued for it. But basically, if you go and look up from 2013 what a pandemic would constitute, there are 10 areas that the World Health Organization has chopped the world up into.
And can I stop you a second, Douglas?
Yeah.
You did send me that. I did look at it briefly. I don't recall. Does it specify that the person that is delegated this responsibility has to be a U.S. citizen?
Oh, no.
I don't recall that that's the case.
There's nothing like that.
Okay, so that there's the lawyer game. That's how they betrayed our sovereignty by giving it over vaguely to a foreign power.
Whoever is appointed. And who appoints them? They're a boss. Oh, let's just go to that one for a second. If I was to name one of the most corrupt leaders of the Democratic Party, who then became also an attorney general in California, just like Kamala Harris, we would have to name Xavier Becerra, who is now the head of the Department of Health and Human Services. He appoints his assistant secretary. He was the guy who had the server that the Imran brothers ran all of the spying on the entire Congress through in his office. Becerra owned this extra server in his office that had never been approved, and it was the thing that was sending that information to Pakistan and anybody else who had the servers, whatever you'd know the technical name for it, identification number. So what we have here is one of the most corrupt and evil people around, Mr. Becerra, now runs this because he was appointed by Biden, so he's an appointee. He's not a doctor. He knows nothing about any of this. And he is as corrupt as, I don't even want to get into how bad this guy is, okay? He's in charge of it, and he appointed Nikki to be his secretary who would take the fall because it is Nikki, the assistant secretary, who calls the pandemic. Now, how does she call the pandemic? She gets on the phone, and she calls Redmond. And she would probably call Fauci, because really Fauci is running the NIH. And then she would call the head of the World Health Organization and say, what do you want me to do? And they'd say, oh, there's a pandemic because we have flu. Here's the premises. There's six stages. Pandemic is the sixth. In stage five, if there are two, and they literally specify influenza or other contagious viruses, if there are literally two cases, and I know you're not going to believe this. You have to go look at this law. It's under the World Health Organization. They clearly state it. it's the six stages for a pandemic. Stage five, if two people in two different zones of the 10 zones have influenza, and literally they say influenza. In other words, if there's two people with the flu, then that is the preparatory stage for pandemic. When there's three people with the flu or any other contagious disease that they, or hazard, it also covers any hazard. If there are three people in three zones, it's a pandemic. Three people with the flu. And I'm not exaggerating. It makes me so angry that no one wants to address the evil of this, though. We've been talking about the way that demons get into laws.
Right.
These are laws that possess the worst demons on the globe that have ever been created.
Right.
Okay. And it's ran by the World Health Organization.
And as I recall, that they also have the wiggle language in there. They create a definition like that. And then they say, unless otherwise specified by the secretary. So they have all these exemptions or exceptions where the secretary can do what they want, or the assistant secretary, where they can do what they want. So it's a matter of who's pulling that person's chain is going to be the one that drives the rules that we play by. But the problem is when we ask somebody from a foreign power who is not subject to our laws to make that call, that's unconstitutional, that's illegal, that's fraudulent, therefore their call is null and void. That's the way it should be. Now, obviously, we're not doing that. So what does that tell you about our elected officials? They're asleep at the wheel. They should be putting a stop to this right now.
Anyone who voted for any of these laws that have pandemic or hazard in them, of the ones I'm mentioning today, besides the first one, anyone who voted for them should be locked up for treason in Gitmo. Period. That's it. You voted, you're gone. Because they gave away our constitutional rights. When you read these laws.
Oh, Douglas, you know, I was having family issues that day, and I got this big stack of paper, and the vote came up that night. Schumer called it, and I just didn't have time to read it. What was I supposed to do?
You were supposed to vote for the law created by 1,400 registered lobbyists who work on Capitol Hill, representing more than 400 different organizations, mostly pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, and five of those donated to my campaign. So what was I going to do? I had to go along with them.
They're my buddies. And yep. I did not have time to read these laws. Then you were not doing your job and you're fired. And because it was treasonous, it doesn't matter because you still have to follow the law. You go to jail or much worse punishments. Now, in the 2013 plan, which I've mentioned, there's a mention of a deadline and that there needs to be a plan for a deadline. There's no deadline for this pandemic. And then in the 2016 law called the 21st Century Cures Act of 2016. Wait a second. I'm going to repeat that. C-U-R-E-S, Cures. 21st Century Cures Act. In other words, it's not focused on your health. It's focused on vaccines because that's the only cure that they say there is. And in this, any pandemic, everybody is exempt from any kind of liability that has anything to do with the cure. Okay. And that one was written. That was the one they spent the most time on. The one I just quoted, 1,400 lobbyists wrote that with 400 different organizations. In most cases, people who benefited by calling a pandemic. Well, in 13, they were supposed to create a deadline. In 16, they must create a plan, and that plan is a strategic implementation plan, which in every case has a deadline. There is no such plan, and there is no such deadline. So, Xavier Becerra can turn to his secretary and say, "You're fired. You never created the deadline for this pandemic."
What do you mean a deadline?
That you say how many people would be affected, or you create some kind of strategic implementation
benchmark
and strategy plan, and then when you reach that benchmark, the pandemic's over.
Oh,
when was the pandemic over in this case? Well, the masks went down from the face when CDC had to start handling the assault on them for the fact that pneumonia, which was created by the masks, bacterial pneumonia, is up 8 what, that's 800%, eight times the highest that it has ever been. In other words, the CDC with their masks killed so far at least, well, I'll be generous to them. I'll be very nice to them. Only 700,000 people have died directly by the use of those masks. It's really more like eight, and we haven't begun the flu season. Okay, and that's when usually 100,000 people die of pneumonia, about 60 to 80,000 die of influenza of the flu. And in both cases, around 65% of both of them have had the vaccinations for pneumonia, vaccinations for flu. Okay, so going on, try to get through this. Then it jumps up at, but as I said, the Cures Act creates amazing latitude for vaccines, and only one time when it says breakthrough therapies, in other words, absolutely brand new, invented, patented by CDC or the NIH or Fauci himself, that's what they mean by breakthrough therapies, and then everything else is vaccines. Now, let me give you a little statistic. Right now, a child with the standards that there are here must have 70 vaccines during their life. The plan for the CDC and the NIH is to have 130 vaccines throughout their life for a variety of supposed illnesses, when we know vaccines don't work for anything. But that's 70 chances to put something into your bloodstream that now we find out has iron oxide particle, nanoparticles in it, or graphene particles, or all these poisonous things. And these are live viruses with real adenoviruses, all kinds of viruses are in these vaccines for children. And then the new vaccination, this fake vaccination for COVID, has so much stuff in it, it's unbelievable. Doesn't matter. This clearly states that they can do whatever they want. Now, people will say that it was, let me finish this and then say that 2019, it was called the Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness and Advancing Innovation Act of 2019.
Love the names, don't you? They're always so grand.
Well, that says that they get to use these experimental vaccines on people. It says right here, advancing innovation. They think that the messenger RNA is the biggest advance in innovation in vaccines. And remember, the CDC owns 53 vaccine patents. But the government gives them a court, the vaccine court, that gives them complete impunity to act, and they're completely immune. So you cannot bring a charge against the pharmaceutical company because the CDC owns the patent and you can't bring the charges against them. Now, how do people do it? They still do it. Last year, $13 billion had to be paid out for vaccination harm for just the vaccines for children. And now what we're seeing, we're looking at trillions of dollars are going to have to be put out for the fake vaccine that has now made you, and I want to put this in, the name of the 2019 law, Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness and Advanced Innovation. What they mean by hazards is the shots that they've just given people make those people hazards. So once you get the shot, you are a hazard. You're a hazard to anyone you come in contact with. This has already been demonstrated, and we have literally thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of cases where the people who have been vaccinated are now spread something called transmissible spongiform encephalitis. It's also called prion disease. It's been studied as part of vaccines for years and years. You can look at the research. This is a bovine mad cow disease that they developed at Purbright Institute in Britain, and it leaked out to people, and they discovered, they were very happy to find out, because that's what they were doing, experiments on animals to get the worst viruses to give them to humans. So this accidentally, I believe, spread to people and became a disease, which too complicated to pronounce, but it's actually transmissible spongiform encephalitis. And that is what these graphene and iron oxide particles are doing. They're going to that part of the brain called the striatum, the same place that's affected for Alzheimer's, and giving people mad cow disease in a human form. Well, that's because it's right here in the title. It's not a pandemic isn't good enough. No, we have to be able to have preparedness. That means calling out the military using police force and so on and so forth. And they build this into this law in 2019 that the Department of Defense can be used. Previously, only governors could be used to call the police out to enforce these things. But now the DOD can, Department of Defense can be called out because that's preparedness. And all hazards, once you've had this vaccine, you are a hazard, not only to yourself, but to everyone you contact. This has been proven again and again with the blood disorders that are transmissible by just being around someone, if especially if you're female, under any age, literally from 2 years old to 70, women who are in their 60s are having massive periods. Blood clotting beyond, I don't even want to get into how horrible this is, but these are blood disorders that make you contagious. Now, they just stopped the pilots in Britain from flying planes because why? They're hazards. And that's in this law. And you no longer have any rights, folks, until these laws are rescinded and the people who pass them are held accountable. I want to say one more thing before we get to the next topic, very quickly. CDC site says that out of 100,000 people vaccinated, 442 die. That's for all vaccines. So when they say vaccines don't hurt children, that's a lie. And we now know that 5,220 on the Veracyte have died from the fake vax, which we have now. Also want to point out that $2.9 billion is spent last year on the pharmaceutical companies lobbying Washington, D.C. I also want to point out that the pharmaceutical companies, for every $1 they spend on research, they spend $19 on advertising, insert the word propaganda. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest racket in America. It's 20% of our GDP, and it affects every human in America. And now we no longer have any constitutional rights until the Secretary Nikki determines when the deadline of the pandemic's going
to
be.
Okay, but this gets back to the British Imperial Empire has been trying to take over America forever. Since we thought we won in 1776, we didn't. They infiltrated us, and now we have these pandemic laws which gave someone else, and we have identified that as the British Pilgrims, sovereignty over America, and now we have the Queen sitting in the middle of a stage where all of her colonies are represented.
Yeah, and we saw Boris Johnson introduce his new young wife, a woman young enough to. Yeah.
Before you go there, because that's a big, hairy topic. What?
They're not married.
Yeah, they are. They got married a week before.
They got married, honey.
They got married in May. 2 weeks before the conference.
Sorry, she moved into 10 Downing.
She did.
Unmarried.
They had the baby a year ago.
The marriage certificate I put up.
And they got married 2 weeks, but in a private ceremony at Westminster.
Okay.
Shacking up and 10 down.
Guys, let's get back to here, because I think it's important that Mike was looking at these companies from a long time ago that had been resurrected. And you have to ask why. Michael, could you speak to that?
Yeah. I've never spent 2 minutes on Boris Johnson. Because it was real obvious from just looking at his behavior that somebody was handling him, and we assumed it was the Pilgrim Society. Now, I need to step back a second, because when I first met you all, Douglas was harping on the British East India Company, and I thought at the time, this guy's crazy. Why is he going back so far? I mean, that company started in the 1600s. How could that possibly be related to anything going on today? That's what I thought at the time. I have to be honest. Since then, I will say, Douglas, I think you are right.
I love being right, Mike, because usually you're the one that's right.
Yes, you are right. And here's how it's related to old Boris. What we discovered just the other day is that in looking at his new wife and himself, we discovered that two companies have been reformed in the last couple of years, and one of the companies was the trading company that supplied the tea that went into the Boston Harbor in 1773. That same company. And also another company was reformed called the East India Company, which was the original British East India Company. Now they're formed with one share and the lady, a knighted woman from the Caribbean, is the sole director of these companies. And she is also, or was till recently, a trustee of the Princess International Trust, which is Prince Charles's company that was formed in 2016 by none other than Sir Nigel Knowles, who is a director of SGO Smartmatic with Lord Mark Malik Brown. And they are playing games right now with us. And I think you're right, Tyler. I think that the Queen being there, which is unusual, I don't know if she's ever been to one of those meetings before, was probably giving Joe Biden and Kamala an attaboy. And what we can see now from looking at the family backgrounds of both Boris and Kerry is a phenomenal connection to everything we've been talking about, going back to the 1900s with the Pilgrim Society formation, the first Imperial Press Conference in 1909. But this story even goes back farther. And one of the things you don't see in the articles about Kerry Johnson is she has a middle name, Bevan. And as it turns out, the Bevan family is a slave trading family that goes back to prior to the American Revolution that made a fortune worldwide in slave trading. They were all attorneys, they were all bankers, and they were all part of the agents of the City of London. And they were probably the wealthiest people in London at the time that we're talking about, and this was during the slave trade. They were there at the end of the slave trade with Hamilton Brown, who is Kamala Harris's great-great-great-grandfather. And we see a very odd situation developing with these people as they gave up their slaves in the 1830s, 1840s. And wouldn't you know it, we see that Boris's relative on his mother's side, great-great-great-great-grandfather, was the founder of the YMCA. Just a few years after the slavers finally gave up their slaves and were compensated, by the way, by the Bank of England. But what we then started looking at is, what's going on here? What's this timing with the formation of the YMCA in 1844? And then the penny dropped, as they say in England. That's an English expression. And we began to realize that what we are looking at is connecting to Jeffrey Epstein, is connecting to child trafficking, is connecting to pedophilia, sodomy, rape. Part of this subculture that we're discovering among all these self-anointed elites who think they have the power over us. And what we're seeing is that the YMCA may have been formed for purposes much different than we've always been taught. And that in fact, what we're looking at is the extreme moral deprivation of the self-anointed elites of the British Empire that goes back to the formation of the East India Company, and the way they would go into a country, they would seize it, they would enslave the people, they would steal all the resources. And they did another thing, which now we can see was an endemic part of being good slave traders and being able to carry that forward for centuries. And that was their practice of systematic rape and sodomy of their slaves. And they used that not only for the pleasuring themselves, but they also used it to emasculate the men and subdue the slaves and keep them on the plantation and doing what they're told.
So, Michael, when you said that Boris was associated with the YMCA, I immediately saw the coast of California, and we've always wondered where the human trafficking networks are. We don't buy this tunneling thing all over America. There's a lot of reasons why that doesn't work for me when I piece it together. But if you look at a network that is global, and you see that they deal with children anyway. So who would think about children being on a YMCA bus? Well, then we began to see that in California, those YMCAs are almost right on top of each other. They go straight up the coast, Oregon, Washington, they go right up into Canada. And then we look at these characters of Kamala Harris, whose family has been in the slaving business for generations. What, did she stop? No, they just, what they did is, you know, anybody can be a slave in this network. It's not just blacks. We look at the white Irish in Jamaica, and now we saw, well, we see child human trafficking, and we see it at the YMCA. And we put that information out early so that if there are good people listening to this, you can start intervening and finding out more. But Michael, you have found out more looking at their corporate documents and who has funded them.
Right. Yeah, that's, I think we're going to talk on that again in another time. But the, as you know, I needed to see the primary evidence of this.
Right.
The theory makes sense. But now we're finding the documents to prove that we're not theorizing here. And what we need to realize is the people that were involved in this massive slave trade that was abolished in 1833 and finally stopped 1840s, about the time the Y was founded, were the bankers in London who formed what is now today Barclays Bank. And so they were extremely wealthy. And what we see is one of the key founders and benefactors of the fortunes that came out of Jamaica and the, let's see, the can't remember the full name of this company, the Newman Company, the Boston Tea Party Company. They gave an incredible amount of money to their heirs, and the trustee of that account was the first chairman of the YMCA when it was formed in 1844. And he has Bevan in his name. And wouldn't you know it, that Carrie Johnson has Bevan in her name. And what we discover is that Bevan is a key name in the formation and development of the modern Barclays Bank. And so what we see is that Barclays Bank funded the development of the YMCA from 1844. And what you look at when you see that is an explosion of activity. So by 10 years later, they've got operations all around the world. They were clearly funded by Barclays Bank in those early days. And then we see their formation of the New York Y. And wouldn't you know it, a 32-year-old banker by the name of J.P. Morgan was the first treasurer and chairman of the YMCA in New York. And as we know, we've seen lots of evidence that JP was a homosexual, as were many of those founders of the Pilgrim Society. And so what we now see is that these slavers, do you think they just walked away from their predilections? There's two sides to slavery. One, there's the victim, and then there's the victimizer. And what we now know is that these victimizers, these self-anointed elites that ran the British Empire, got addicted to their abuse of their slaves, their rape, their sodomy, their whipping of their slaves. And that didn't stop. Their desire to do that didn't stop when during abolition. It carried on. And what we can see from the forming documents of the YMCA is our platitudes that sound Christian on the surface, but what in fact they do is hide a hidden agenda, that what they were doing was setting up a new supply of young men for their interest in sodomy. And later on, the YWCA was created also in England, probably for their interest in rape. And so they were carrying on their clear knowledge of how to emasculate and subdue young men to do their will. And so as Britain was industrializing, they were looking to do that same thing that they had learned so well in the slave trade in the fields and carry that into the industries of England and the rest of the world, and to subdue a whole class of young men who lost any knowledge of normal sexual relations with women, interest in marriage, sanctity of the family, and they got addicted on the victim and victimizer side to sodomy and rape. And they used this massive explosion of facilities all over the planet that we called the Young Men's Christian Organization. I don't see much Christian in what they've done. And as you know, I was in the Christian ministry for years, and I just talked to somebody today and I asked, did we ever work with them? And the answer was no, we never did. And so now we know why. It wasn't about the agenda that was written on their PR. It was to create a place to carry on their predilections for sodomy and rape.
I think you're quite right. And this is a shocking reality that when you look at Cecil Rhodes and the three Rothschilds and Lord Esher and even later Edward, the King of England.
W.T. Stead, J.P. Morgan.
Yeah, all those people, the majority of them were homosexual, and they were the richest people in the world at that time. And what did they decide? There's going to be a two-tiered society. There's going to be them, the elite, and there's going to be the rest of us who they're going to give socialism to. They believe in imperialism, white supremacy imperialism, and then they gave through, you know, that was developed by John Ruskin, who, you know, strangely enough, he never had sex with his wife. Okay, this is who John Ruskin is. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Fabian Society, and you have Jeremy Bentham, and you have all those movements for socialism, democratic socialism. That's for the common people. But what is socialism? It's nothing more than the promise of what then becomes twisted up in communism, that you're going to get, everything's going to be beautiful. You won't have to own anything and you'll be happy. You know, this is the message, the new communist message of Klaus Schwab and Davos and the World Economic Forum, which whoever gave them any power anyway, and why are they on any committee or who do they run it through? The United Nations has allowed that to happen. Now, we did a report early on when we used to post on before it was news, and it got a huge response. I forget how many people, well over 250,000 people read this article, and then people got upset. And then other alternative journalists came out and started to say, well, you know what? They were right. And here's what I was right about, because all you have to do is, I hate to say the word, do a search. Don't Google it. Do a search and come up with how many people come up missing in America every year. No one believed me that number right now, the official count last year, how many people came up missing? And most of them are girls. The majority are girls, young men, and younger children. 637,000. How many were recovered? Almost none. Is there an FBI agency who looks into this? No. Is there any agency who looks into this? No. They're considered runaways.
Can I point out
60% or more come from state placements and or are people who are moving around as what do you call that, transient people? And that's what the Y in its 2,700 locations in America serving, according to them, the numbers are staggering. It's like one of the largest organizations there is. It's kind of like Carnegie Libraries. Under the idea of philosophy, they literally are just simply carrying on their slave trade. And remember, slave trade, India, the British East India Company, brought their slaves mostly to Jamaica and the islands, right? And then the Dutch East India Company brought their slaves to the South to basically work the fields for, you know, cotton and tobacco. And in the North, they had the mills, which took the cotton and turned it into product that was then sent to Britain. We were nothing more than an extension of Britain in the North and an extension of the Dutch East India Company in the South. And that's what the war, that's what our Revolutionary War and our Civil War was all about, was really fighting over these corporate interests who don't care whether we have a constitution. They continue on as business nonstop. And what is their business? Slave trade, human trafficking. And that means organ harvesting. It means pedophilia. It means moving. You know how many people they know are taken to China every year to be chained up so that they can make our tennis shoes and other things for us in America? 200,000 are confirmed to have gone to China every year somehow. And no one says anything to China. And they're still most favored nation, trading nation. That status, they're considering revoking that because of all this. They should have revoked it when they saw that the human trafficking and slave trade was so pronounced. For instance, in Syria, and people don't like to hear this, but it's the truth. Twice China sent an empty, because you can look at the water levels on the boat, they sent their largest troop carriers to Syria and say, hey, we're here to help. They never docked there. Where do you think they docked? In Turkey. And guess what? 1.4 million refugees from Syria came up missing after those two trips of those two troop carriers. In other words, they were sold to China. 1.4. Now, you think that's crazy? What about the Uyghur people who are slaves, who have been experimented on with the COVID virus and many other viruses, and then murdered? And I predicted that it would be well over 1 million. It would probably be 2 million. Now it's more than 2 million Uyghurs are missing. So if you don't think this is going on today, you're mistaken. It's just that in the West, it looks a little bit more polite because it's run by the British and they love to be proper. So they have what seems to be a place to offer young men a place to stay, to get food, and to swim naked. Let's not forget that. And the girls who come there, because I was in Britain not many years ago. Of course, I'm an old man. It was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But they still swam, boys and girls, at the YMCA completely naked. But the boys always have to swim naked. And at Boy Scout camp, you see pictures from the old days. They're standing with all the dressed adults, all the dressed girls, and all the boys have to stand there naked. That is the humiliation that turned the British people into what they are now, which is people who are so desensitized in so many areas that they either don't understand that the imperialists want depopulation and eugenics, or they support it. And that's sad to say. But when I came out with the report, I stated it was 800,000 people a year come up missing in America. And by golly, the FBI reported that the statistics given by the groups that collect that information were wrong, that it is more like it is over 800,000 people a year each year. And nothing is done about it.
But the fact that you have the British, how is it listed, Mike, for corporation papers? Is it the East India Company or corporation?
The East India Company.
Okay. And it has been dormant for a long time.
It's been dormant and was reformed in 2018.
So to me, that says that they are going to come out and proclaim that they've taken over the world and we were just a little speed bump. The American experience was just a little speed bump. They got rid of us, and they will annihilate that in all history books, any mention of America and anyone who we are.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing that I think that we've come full circle here with this idea of why a Jeffrey Epstein? I mean, I get the idea that somebody can be blackmailed, but what we're seeing now is a systemic understanding that the British have had about how to abuse people in order to get those people to do their will over a long period of time. In other words, they're experts at it. They know how to do it. And so what we see is, this Maxwell guy who ran the Mirror Group in England, his daughter was the madam for Jeffrey Epstein. So now we see that they're just doing what they know how to do well and have known how to do well. And the YMCA, the practical experience for somebody my age is that the YMCA was always a part or in the background. I've only been there a few times, but the one time I did go, yeah, you're right. They made you swim naked. When I was a kid, I was like 10 years old. And I thought, this is weird. I never went back. But they have mirrors in these swimming pools. So I'm sure that whoever really knows what's going on was checking out their interest in the boys. And then they also had residences in these buildings. These were magnificently built buildings, by the way. They were funded by the likes of J.P. Morgan and Barclays Bank. They funded a perfect opportunity for them to carry on their interests in sodomy and rape, and all perfectly, I don't know, on the surface, you couldn't tell what was going on. So in the business community, some guy would go to the Y to work out. Well, yeah, okay, fine, you're going to work out. But what was really going on at the Y?
And, that's the front room.
That's the front room. And, the back room is they're upstairs.
And let's bring to everyone's attention, it's an NGO, or it's a nonprofit.
It's the second largest and oldest NGO in the world.
Right. They have interlocking directorships all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And tell me, how does a nonprofit like the YMCA get so big, so fast, have so many beautiful buildings?
It doesn't happen like that.
Oh, and the membership is next to nothing.
Within 10 years, they were spread out all over the world, and they were amazing themselves at how fast they grew. And they made up this whole propaganda about the origin story that now it reads just like another cardboard cutout, this Sir George Williams, that was Boris's great-great-great-great-grandfather, was allegedly this hero. But when you really read the stories about him, it's all fake. It's all written by a propagandist who's not really a Christian, but sort of knows the lingo a bit and can kind of regurgitate something and to somebody else. Who's going to read this stuff? So this is for the history books. And they wrote another version, by the way, where they called him the father of the Red Triangle. And this was in 1918. They rewrote the 1906 book, and they added the name, the father of the Red Triangle. Well, that was right when they were also promoting Vladimir Lenin, the father of the Red Star. So these people, now that we know what they're doing, how they do it, we can see that the British have always believe that they're better than everybody else, and not everybody, not the British. I'm going to say the self-anointed elitists within Britain have believed since 1600 that they were destined to rule the world, and they learned that sexual abuse was a key element in keeping control of whole societies, and that is exactly what they've done. And this they carried it on with the YMCA. Right in plain sight. And that's what's amazing about this. And by the way, that issue of naked swimming, that was still going on until 1979. And so, you know, we can't possibly fathom how deep this goes. But now we understand that Jeffrey Epstein was just carrying on a very strong and long tradition. So none of these Brits that know what's going on are bothered at all by Jeffrey Epstein. They helped him. He was a part of their game.
And in the Y, they make the Y into a, I don't know, it has a triangle in it, the Red Triangle.
Right.
And now the Red Triangle is the number one used symbol for pedophilia.
Is that right?
If it's a triangle and then the triangle has inner triangles, that's like, here it is, come get it. It is literally been the symbol for homosexuality since the moment that they created it. And you can't ask anybody who has any experience, like, you know, who are old as us, what is the Y known for? One of our best friends just wrote, everybody knows that it was where the homosexuals went. Everybody knows that.
But over time, even the blackmail factor for homosexuality just wore off because people accepted it. So then you have to move to another category of people, and this would be the children. And right. This is why it was really important for me to go ahead and notify folks that we have found some evidence with the YMCA that they're involved in child sex trafficking, human trafficking, because every day that goes by that the general public is not aware of this, there are children that are being harmed and maybe even killed. Your report is coming out, and it is going to document everything that you've just said. But I would ask the audience out there to please start educating your downlines and getting this information out so that we can keep eyes and ears on the YMCA. And they are not the only ones you've come up with. You've also looked at another network that may be involved in the adult human trafficking.
Right.
I want to go back to what you said about the founding. I love this. These really young men who they often make to look like they're, you know, teenagers, practically, you know, 19 years old or whatever, 12 of them gathered in his room, which they called the upper room. And this young man with his 11 good bunk buddies, because they're all in his room. And in those days, you know, he had pretty small rooms. And here he is, this student, and he's hasn't a penny to his name. But when they say, but how are you going to create this worldwide place that's going to give us everything we need, everything that we want?
Yeah.
Food, the place to live.
The story was he pounded his hand on a fist on the table, and he said, we're going to do it because we're going to get God's help, and that's it. And we read all this stuff.
And when someone said, how are we going to do this? He goes, don't worry about the money.
That's right.
Don't worry about the money. Here is a penniless boy yelling at them. They're going to create an international group that has become literally next to, say, the bureaucracy of the Vatican, which is, of course, another place which is the home of pedophilia. And to this day, we know that. Matter of fact, the most institutionalized and recognized form of pedophilia has been with Catholic priests who have had to pay in this country alone multiple times, $5 billion every time it comes into a lawsuit. They pay $5 billion and then no one gets prosecuted. And then this young man says, don't you worry. This is going to go to every country in the whole world. We're going to have everything. We're going to have wonderful buildings. And don't worry about the money. It's right there.
Yeah, the biography says he had no doubts. Well, knowing that he had the support of Barclays Bank really helped. I mean, I've actually started a nonprofit organization in the church world, and getting to $1 million in donations is a lot of work, takes a lot of time. You don't do what he did in real life. This was made up for another purpose, and I think this was Industrial Revolution slavery.
Well, before we leave, I did tease the audience out there that there is another organization that might also be involved in human trafficking. Did you want to say anything about that before we conclude?
Well, let me give one fact. Carol Quigley, in his book, describes some meetings that they were having with the Round Table, or as Douglas often has referred to, the Council of the Committee of the Elect. What was the name of it, Douglas? The actual name.
The Committee of the Elect.
The Committee of the Elect. Or
Select. It had different names and different levels in the inner group, outer group. And the
right. It was in 1880s, 1885 time frame.
They're the elect.
And at that meeting, it was Cecil Rhodes having a meeting describing his ruthless vision. They actually described it that way, of British corporatism that was to come. And this was before he was on the Privy Council. And in his committee of initiates was a gentleman by the name of General Booth. And General Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. So what we see here is that somehow the Salvation Army was involved with Cecil Rhodes in the formation of the Pilgrim Society. I'll leave it there for now.
YMCA, YWCA, Salvation Army, USO, the YMCA Railroad Association, the Society of the Elect, the City of London.
Yeah, Society of the Elect, that was it.
Society of the Elect, the Marxism, Communism, Fascism, all were born in London.
Yep.
Period.
That's
period.
Right.
And imperialism was John Ruskin, and he was like, these people took the writings of this insane person, who is also an art critic and well-known for many other things, but then he started writing basically, hey, we're the special ones. Everyone else needs to be our slaves. Now, that started with Cecil Rhodes using a British East India Company land in South Africa.
Correct.
To go down and to penetrate the Transvaal and basically kill untold amounts of Boers. The two Boer wars, the experimentation on the people they put in the concentration camps, and all of this was also included, all types of abuse and everything
right.
else. You can bet Cecil Rhodes' predilection for human slavery and basically sex slaves was started there. And then when he came back, the Brits were so proud of what he did, you know, and then they named a country after him, and now he controlled all the diamonds through De Beers. He controlled the gold. from the Transvaal and became one of the richest men in the world. So therefore, he just made up what he wanted to continue to do from his previous efforts in South Africa.
Yeah, so what we're seeing here is the replacement for slavery by the British was the genesis of the settlement movement, communism, socialism, Fabianism. They were looking for a way to make slaves out of people by some ism. And they didn't really care whether it was fascism, communism, whatever. Those were all creations of this replacement of the British Empire with a new way of subduing the citizens of the countries they dominated. That's what we're seeing.
And we know that to do that, you have to have the best propaganda available to mankind. And that's what they developed with the Empire Press Union. On and on and on, every newspaper, every mainstream media, every type of broadcast, even the military broadcast and the technology, of course, stolen from Tesla by Marconi and his cronies. In where? That would be London. And so we get to see that their plan has been very, very effective and that the YMCA is nothing more than a gentleman's club for pedophilia and much, much, much worse.